Welcome to the Tri-State Space Program. This episode features a far-out discussion with my Jangle Sheep bandmates, Sean and Travis. I'm going to be doing a column in an Evansville newsletter coming up in early 2016. I'll have more details on that soon, but it's going to be pretty awesome. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. Get your mind open for a deep conversation about our universe with Travis Horton and Sean Adams of the Jangle Sheep. So we're minus a member, and that is Mike, here at practice, so we decided to record a short podcast after we jammed. We're actually in the middle of writing a song about the devil, and I was telling them that I really like songs about the devil. I don't know why, because I don't really believe in the devil, but it's just a cool concept that humans came up with that has to do with religion. You know?
Yeah.
They're scared of the devil, people who are religious, and it's kind of weird.
It's easy to write songs about the devil because the whole premise of the situation is kind of just ridiculous and crazy, so
yeah.
It's almost just like imaginary fun.
But it scares people regardless.
Yeah, it definitely does.
And that's what's cool about it.
Yeah, and I think this song is mostly like satirical, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're trying to scare people, you know?
Well, no, yeah, it's not. It's just writing, like, Murder by Death has an album about the devil. It's got devil in the title, and, I mean, the devil makes an appearance in the album. And they talk about the devil a lot. There's a Stephen King story, like, the devil comes and visits this little boy when he's on this riverbank. And, in the devil's shadow, the grass dies. And, like, shit, he goes into extremely good detail about a really vivid detail about the devil. It's really cool. It's just cool. The devil's cool.
Yeah, and it's not a real original concept.
No.
Charlie Daniels, I mean, you think about one of the most famous country violin songs, fiddle songs in history, and it's goddamn the devil, you know? What's that song called?
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
The Devil Went Down to Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Nobody got pissed off about that. Actually, I don't know.
They probably did.
I'm sure a lot of people got pissed off.
Yeah, but it's Charlie Daniels, I mean, you know. He's a country artist, like, you know, so people, I feel like him doing a song about the devil kind of opened up.
Right, it set the precedent for people to act like the devil in a song.
Yes, yeah, pretty much, I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just rock and roll, people always say, that's the devil's music, you know, I mean, and that's just like, oh, okay then, we can go with that.
Yeah.
Well, devil. I mean, and if you think about it, Christian rock is awful, so the antithesis should logically be amazing every time.
So you're saying every song about the devil is going to be extraordinary, no matter how bad it
exactly,
is.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, okay, is there a difference? I assume that, I mean, in song quality, when you're worshiping the devil,
and
about
the devil.
If you get too serious about it,
well, doesn't Slipknot have songs about the devil?
Sure they do.
Well, I mean, I know they have the drummer in that Disaster Piece or Disaster Pieces, whatever, special, like, live concert or whatever. They released a DVD of it. The drummer at one point has, like, a solo, and then the platform he's on raises up to where he's staring at the floor, and then it spins around. It is a star, and then it spins however much it has to spin to be a pentagram, and he's still drumming. So, I mean, it was a really cool, you know, concept for the show, but I wonder if it's like funny to them or what. We don't have to talk about Slipknot very long. I'm just saying they apparently have like a devil, you know.
Yeah, who knows? They even believe in the devil.
Demonic theme.
Yeah, I think it's hard to
judge. I think they just believe in evil. There is evil and there is, you know, just bad people, but that's the difference between this supernatural being that's just going to take you to hell. You know what I mean?
Even Satanists don't believe in the devil, right?
No, they don't. Yeah, that's a misconception. Probably mostly among Christians. Christians think that Satanists believe in Satan, but they really don't. It's not like that. It's
they
like,
believe in doing everything you want to do. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
They
yeah.
just believe in doing whatever the fuck you want.
That's what I hear, is they believe you just should do everything for yourself.
Well, people always say there's no judgment in hell.
Right.
Everyone just goes, you know. Everyone's equal in hell.
Yeah.
Everyone's the same piece of shit.
Yeah, I think hell sounds like a lot more fun than heaven,
hell could
personally.
Be a, you know, I could imagine, like, hell could be a party. The devil probably ain't even that bad of a guy, you know.
Nah.
He wanted the free will. So.
I mean, like yeah, South Park, kind of. Where they have house party with the devil.
Yeah, they're just yeah. chilling.
Satan's gay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Satan's
pretty awesome.
Satan's definitely gay. Yeah. I think he's real. Not that anything against gay people, I'm just
nah.
saying.
That we're saying that hell sounds cool.
Yeah,
and gay
right.
people are, you know.
They're welcome there, you know.
Yeah, that I mean, hell would actually probably be decorated better. It would probably have, like, a lot better. It wouldn't just be clouds and harps. It'd be, like, fucking electric guitars
yeah.
and, like double bass drums.
Walls
and,
of
Marshalls. Yeah, walls of Marshalls.
Like, Lil Nicky.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end, they're just in their own little room, you know, just fucking jamming all night.
He's got, like, a wall of Marshalls.
Yeah.
Just in his room, it's just a wall of that's fucking crazy. Your ears would be gone after like a week.
You probably don't even have to worry about hearing.
Oh, in hell, you don't. Yeah, right. You don't have to worry about mortal degradation. You just
what if hell isn't eternal? It's just the next step, and then you die in hell and you go to like super hell. And that's even better.
I'm actually in the middle of reading Dante's Inferno, and that's yeah. about the fucking circles of hell.
I've actually read that. I read it to the point of... I actually didn't read the full way through. When I got past
it.
Hell, it got a lot more boring. Because when you get to Purgatorio, which is Purgatory,
oh.
that's the second, like...
You had the three-piece book? Like,
yeah.
the book with all of them in it?
Yeah, this is just Divine Comedy is what I was reading.
Oh, okay, so it has all three.
It has all three. It has
yeah.
Inferno,
I just
Purgatorio,
have Inferno.
And... Something with heaven, but
yeah, I can't remember what heaven is now.
Paradiso. It just got Paradiso. Yeah, it just got really boring though when I got to Purgatory.
I bet. Yeah,
it's hard to read in the first place, but it's interesting to see his levels of hell. Like
oh,
everyone
yeah.
has their own specific torture they have to go through based on like the seven sins.
Based on what they did when they were.
And what I thought
alive.
Was interesting, like the first circle of hell, like the least, it gets progressively more. Awful.
Yeah.
The first circle of hell, in his version of it, is all the people who didn't know God or Jesus, but they were still good people.
Good people.
Like
yeah.
the Greeks and people like that. They didn't know, they weren't alive when Jesus was there, so they stayed in hell. They weren't tortured, but they could never have hope. Which I still think is fucked up.
That is. That might be worse.
Like, that's not
torture.
Fair. It's like, how was that logically fair at all? Like, that just doesn't make... I mean, it's all made up anyways. But it was just interesting, his concepts that he had.
Yeah.
With the Greek mythology, they had, like, multiple levels of Hades. Like, majority... Everyone went to hell and that. Only, like, the most... that was just, like, an awful religion to have. Everyone goes to Hades. I mean... You're all just a fucking, like, a river of shades and stuff. And if you're worse, you go to fucking... There's essentially super hell. Tartarus is, like, what we imagine as hell. Like, fire and brimstone, you die, you are tortured for eternity, so...
Like, they shove pineapples up your ass every day?
Yeah. And you only have... So, it's like... Everything is awful for where it was awful for the Greek mythology. I mean, the only people that went to heaven, essentially, were the gods and, like... People like fucking Hercules, who were superhuman, you know.
Well, that's fucked up. The game's rigged.
There's only one other... There's one.
Even if you're a good person.
A lot, Jesus.
There's only one mortal. The only mortal who went... I don't know. It wasn't... I don't think it was Troy. I think Troy went to Hades, too. One mortal. I don't remember. It was one of the famous Greek heroes. He's the only one who got to heaven.
Wow. So you have to be so valiant to get to heaven.
Well, to Olympus. Actually, no. What? No. Olympus is only the gods, but in
right.
hell, there's actually different layers. There's actually a good layer, and that's where they go. It's weird. So
good
I guess
hell.
You could go, but it's more than likely the mass majority of people are just in, like, a shit river.
You know, I was thinking, you said before Jesus, you know, how is it fair to the people before Jesus.
Right.
Like, could they not be grandfathered back to heaven, you know? Like,
they didn't
have Jesus, you know? You didn't have him, so we're just going to give you another chance here. And if God's all-powerful, he can do it. I don't doubt that.
Yeah, it's just fair that in these 2,000 years, we're the ones, you know, if that religion's true, that we're the ones that get fucked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that fair? There's at least 10,000, way more than 10,000.
What the hell happened to the dinosaurs? And, I mean, because they probably didn't go to heaven.
They didn't have any religion.
No one made a movie. All dinosaurs go to heaven. They didn't get a chance.
Only dogs, man. That's it.
Only dogs, yeah.
But, you know, if dinosaurs were put there by God, you know, whatever, if the world's only 5,000 years old,
Why? Why did God make dinosaurs first? Why did he make just these, like, you know... And then we were a shrew at that time, I believe. Like, humans were a shrew and then, you know, eventually evolved into humans. But, yeah, like, we were our, you know, ancestor at that time, 65 million years ago or whatever, whenever the asteroid hit, was a shrew. And then I guess somehow the shrew lived. I would assume, since we're here,
that... We start off as a shrew, that's what they think?
Well, I mean, well, after fish.
Single-celled organism.
Yeah, after single-celled organism... into fish, into, you know, amphibian, into a shrew, into, you know, monkey eventually. Like, it gets, I don't know. I can understand. I really can understand why that's a stretch for some people. Some people's brains just cannot wrap around that. Like,
they're like, there's no other people that are smart.
Yeah.
You tell me these shrews are going to turn to people.
Where's all the half shrew, half people?
Yeah.
They came from shrews, huh?
They're monkeys. That's what I mean. That's what they are. Like, they didn't evolve into this.
Monkeys. Have you guys heard about the
monkeys? Are
they've discovered monkeys that have started making tools now?
Yeah, I've seen that. They use rocks and stuff to like smash.
Orangutans have been making spears for some time, but now they're finding more and more
really
like primate species that are doing that.
Cool.
So they think they're starting to like move into the next step of their evolution.
Oh yeah. Well, that makes sense.
As long as we don't kill them all.
Planet of the Apes kind of makes sense. If we were to artificially make them more intelligent, then...
Only we have to. I think it would just be millions of years before I'd say they would become our level eventually. As long as we don't kill them off.
Evolution has to be forced. There has to be a reason for a species to evolve. If everything's fine, then it won't. But if something catastrophic happens, like where primates have to evolve, then they will. If they're able to. You know, or they'll die.
I think to an extent, I think there's both. I think there's evolution through like repeated motions or I don't know how to put it.
Well, like a giraffe, like it used to be really have a short neck, but then the trees started getting more sparse and they had to reach up further and their necks just kind of went with them.
Make their weird ass long necks longer, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but over lots of time. So I mean, that's such a weird thing, like that giraffes did that their necks got that, like, as tall as the rest of their body is to the ground. Like, that's how tall their head is. Like, how did that happen? I can see how people, that's a stretch for people, you know what I mean? Like, I feel sorry sometimes for people who, which this is really terrible to say, but I do feel sorry for people who can't wrap their head around that and really grasp its logic, because it makes perfect sense that we evolved, you know?
What's that dinosaur with the long neck? I think one day, one of those dinosaurs, you know, they were going dead, and they're just like, boom, popped out a giraffe. It makes the most sense. What is it, a bronchiosaurus?
I think so, yeah.
A bronchiosaurus.
I think so.
Baby giraffe.
Brontosaurus. Is it brontosaurus?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what a bronchiosaurus is. I think that's one, too.
It's like a mix of a donkey and a brontosaurus.
Donkeyosaurus. Like, there are definitely limits to evolution. Like, we cannot evolve. I mean, I guess we could. It just takes a lot of time. We'd never be able to see what was coming.
Well, think about a hummingbird. To us, a hummingbird flapping its wings that fast is like a super, you know, a crazy, you know, thing that they can do. Like, if you think about all of the a lot of the superhero motifs or whatever, like... their superpowers, a lot of those are based on what animals do. Like flying, swimming, like breathing underwater, all that kind of shit. Like Aquaman can breathe underwater, Superman can fly. Like a lot of superheroes, we just were like, fuck, why can't we do that? And so we made these fantasy, you know, fantastical stories about it.
You know, something that I find interesting, that our eyes, our human eyes, are more devolved than they were. Our eyes have actually devolved.
Yeah.
Because fish eyes are the best eyes in the world.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I think this is a totally different point, but mantis shrimp, they can see like 12 different primary colors compared to us.
Which really?
We can't even see close to that.
Huh. Yeah, I wonder if science will ever figure out how to, like, literally how to create a program or something where we can see what animals see.
Well, they...
Like dogs.
I was going to say, the thing about that is, too, if we do that stuff, we probably have just shunned our chance of ever evolving, because I don't think we'll evolve in a physical sense, or maybe mentally. In a mental sense. But, like, we'll never be able to see that way or anything, because we don't need to.
You're right, we don't need to.
We don't need to.
However, we have invented infrared goggles, UV. We can see UV through certain means.
Yeah.
And you can actually even get the outer layer of your eye removed so you can see UV.
Yeah. Well, we're evolving through selective breeding now. I mean, that's a big part of the equation, is that... if you notice, people are less hairy now than they used to be.
That's not true. Look at me, motherfucker.
No, I mean, like, less hairy than we were as monkeys. You know what I mean? Like, we're less hairy now. That's because, for some reason, people think other people that are less hairy are more attractive, and then they only have babies. You know what I mean? Like, they tend to have babies with people who are less hairy. So now, over the course of time, we have less hairy people because...
That could be true. In another viewpoint, you know, we don't need the hair. We now are... We have the means to invent... To make clothing, jackets. We have heat.
Air conditioning,
we have houses. But we don't have to have the natural stuff on our body. We just don't need.
Hairy guy, I gotta say, what about the people that are attracted to... It's, you know, typically women... attracted to hairy guys, because I've dated two girls that are really attracted to that.
Yeah,
and
well,
like, so maybe that's
probably weirdos, huh?
Then yeah, they're like, I think that's few and far in between. I would imagine that the trend is obviously, well, you know, people tend to fuck other people that have less hair. Like, that's just the trend. I'm pretty hairy too, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, I think too. That's maybe not, women. That's not just evolution. That's culture.
It definitely is.
Yeah,
and other cultures are really hairy.
In the 80s and 70s, even in America, I mean, people, the hairy chest was the thing, man. Women loved that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not necessarily to do with evolution so much as culture. Maybe that could entail a shift, but I mean, the trends go back and forth so much because we're always looking for the next step that it could revert. Like,
I think they go hand in hand. So I think as you evolve physically, your culture changes. Or either one can correlate to the other and show, you know.
I guess an interesting thing with that is, you know, since America is obsessed with boobs.
Yeah.
They've been saying that women's breast sizes typically have been a cup larger.
And they get than usual. Breasts earlier.
Yeah.
10 and their period earlier. Like, I know I've heard that. Like, women get their period and, like, start blossoming physically earlier.
I think it's interesting. I don't remember if it was just humans or humans and one other species, but in humans, the breasts are the only breasts that stay swollen like they are. Like, no other animal has that. Because you see, like, when other animals, like, are in heat or get pregnant, then they miraculously have giant boobs. But women, you know, humans, they're always that size. And they get bigger when they're pregnant, but they're still big and swollen. And I assume that has to do something with, you know, evolution. I think it's like...
That's weird. I've never thought about that.
Like, I think bigger boobs, back then, they were considered more likely to be able to breastfeed and to nourish the child.
Right. So, bigger tits.
I mean, that's what it is. That's what breasts are biologically made for.
Yeah, definitely. So
not mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, men having nipples is the weirdest thing, isn't it?
Again, you know, we associate that. Now it's associated with something completely different. It's not biological. I mean, there's been plenty of comedians that have talked about the jokes, like Demetri Martin says, like, I get the boobs, you know, bigger breasts, you know, I guess biologically could mean, like, it could sustain more children. Hips show that they can birth more children if they're wide, if they're bigger. But, like, what about, like, the stomach? Like, what's that? Does that mean if they have a six-pack, does that mean they can shit really well? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that attractive? We're like, man, that person can probably shit.
I think that the attraction from a six-pack comes from more of the fact that you see that somebody's willing to go far enough to take care of their body.
Well, yeah.
That'd be me. Not everybody.
Well, and if you're just physically fit, you're more likely, again, to produce offspring, too.
And well, you're stronger.
Thinks that six-packs are sexy, you know? Some guys...
Yeah, some girls like a fucking chunky guy.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, or some guy. I mean, a lot of guys like a thick girl who doesn't have really any muscle, but she's, I don't know. I think right now it seems in the culture, it's like there's a happy medium of thickness. You know what I mean? Like within our culture generally, it seems like if you're a certain amount of thickness where you have curves, then it seems like culturally that's in right now, you know? But it used to be, if you were, like, what we would consider fat now, if you were fat, you were, like, wanted, you know? You were, like, you know, men wanted you.
Right. And same for men, too, who were fat, like, you know, 100, 200 years ago, they were considered healthy. They were the ones who were able to eat. The same with pale skin. Back then, people were more attracted to pale skin because you were able to stay inside and you don't have to work all the time.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, that's really cool.
Now people like tan skin mostly. Some guys have that, you know, pale girl fetish, but...
Yeah, yeah. Like, red... Well, it seems like some guys like redheads a lot. Like, you know, you talk... When you talk with dudes, it's like, you know, they say, oh, I like Asian girls, or I like, you know, this or that, whenever you're talking, like, sex and stuff. Dudes at work, or, you know, whatever. Dudes in school, especially. Like, whenever you're just talking about girls, a bunch of straight guys... You kind of get a feel for, like, what they like. Mm-hmm. And, like, some dudes really like redheads. Like, it's like, you know, I guess they're less plentiful. So maybe it's...
Yeah, so
maybe
I that's got something to do with it. Probably has to do something with the scarcity of how many... Because isn't the... I think the... I saw a statistic the other day, and only 2% of the whole world is redhead.
Wow. And that's all from one region of the planet they came from, you know?
Where'd they come from?
Ireland, I would imagine, like
that's
Europe.
What I think too, but I have no idea.
Maybe somewhere in the Europe region, because the redheads we have here are, I would imagine, mostly are from Ireland, like Irish immigrants.
The real redheads, yeah. There's a lot of fake redheads out there.
Yeah. There's a lot of dyed redheads.
Sexy, another thing beyond physical attraction is, I think what we go, even though we may not realize that we go for. Men probably more so with physical, but...
Probably.
You know, there's plenty of men and plenty of women that... And there's women that go for physical, too. I know plenty of girls that are very shallow, just like guys are, too. But is our mental connections...
That's why we have language.
Yeah. Is really? Our mental connections... I feel like that could evolve into something crazy eventually, too. I'm just ready for life to be like a hive mind to where we're just all connected. Mentally,
we almost are with the internet.
Yeah, that's what I.
That's a step in the process.
Soon, the connections of the internet will outnumber the connections in the human brain, and a lot of people are scared that the internet will become sentient after that. Oh. You know, it'll be able to think. Which I don't disbelieve that, because if it has so much information, I mean, I don't know.
All the
I don't know where the line is that makes something able to think, but I feel like just. Having the knowledge makes you think. I don't know. It's
well, with robots, they're inventing these robots now that can, like, you'll ask it a command. You'll say, hey, robot, move forward for me. And it'll be like, okay. And it'll talk back and say, okay. And it'll move forward. And then, like, if you put it at the edge of a table to where it will fall off, you say, hey, robot, move forward for me. In this video, the guy said that. And the robot was like, I cannot do that because there is no stabilization ahead or something like that to where they could walk. And then he said, robot, walk for me. He said, I cannot do that. And he said, walk for me. I'll catch you. And then it said, okay. And it fell off and it caught it.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, they're being able to where they can at least understand commands.
Yeah. But was that programmed? I mean, if it was programmed, then there's definitely no, like, no surprise in my mind. Like, that's not that big of a deal. But if it was like, if he didn't program the robot to do that, then the robot was like, no, bro, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's always going to be programmed. Nah, no robot is going to be able to make up its own thought. But
well, that's the question. You know, when does that happen, and when do robots become smart enough to build other robots?
It's when you program it enough to where it's beyond us. You know, because we already, you know, have calculators and stuff that can do math way quicker than we can. So we'd be able to program something probably way smarter than us that can think through all these things. And then maybe it'll achieve its own thought just based on programming.
What will happen most likely is that someone will program a robot to learn, and it will just start learning. And the more it learns, the more it knows. You know, and kind of. I mean, this is kind of like iRobot, really.
Like Her, like the movie Her. Have you seen that yet? I only saw like 20, 30 minutes of it so far. But it's like paused on my DVR, but it was like that. Like she was like, well, I just read a book on this, and he's like, you mean in the time it took me to ask you that question, you read a whole book about it? And she's like, yeah. And like, it's Scarlett Johansson's voice, so it's like a babe's voice. So it's that's a nice quality to that movie.
But I mean, at the same time,
just had to throw that in there.
If people are scared that, you know, robots will take over or whatever. The thing is, though, is that, you know, caring about our survival and caring about those things, robots don't have instinct.
Right.
They will never care. They'll never be like, humans are destroying the planet. We must take over them. Unless we program them to care about
the environment,
themselves, and the environment.
Ooh, well, about their own existence.
If we program them, program them to think is one thing, but can they make that into a feeling? Because that's where all the action comes from. If we don't program to have feelings, or about, you know, their own existence or their own worth, or about, you know, anything else like the world or anything like that, then they'll never come to that point.
Well, the thing is on that is that we don't know what gives us the ability to think. We don't know what gives us our consciousness.
Yeah.
We don't know that. And who's to say that a robot couldn't develop that? Because we have no clue.
Like I said, I think it's biology. I think it's the fact that we live and we die. You know, robots will never die. And they're not really alive either. So, I mean, again, that's why I think all the feelings and everything, I mean, it's deeper than that, obviously. But like I said, if there's no biology to these robots, as long as I feel like we don't program them to do these things, then, like, all they'll be able to do is commands.
You know, there's some mad scientist asshole out there. He's like, my robot army will take over the world.
Well, I mean, right. If you could get, like, a human consciousness, like, that one movie, Transcendence, and, like, you can keep yourself alive after death. If you could put that stuff in, like, a robot body or something, then things would get a little fucky.
Yeah.
Then things could maybe change because, you know, if you had a human brain and what makes us us in a robot body.
Yeah.
I don't know if a person would be able to live like that, though, too, because, you know, it wouldn't be us. Like, how would they, wouldn't they just go insane? You know what I mean?
Maybe. I don't know, because you would, they would have all the knowledge, and but none of the emotion. It would. I don't know how to even. Maybe having, like, conceptualizing this in your brain is kind of like for us, conceptualizing this in our brain is kind of like people who can't conceptualize evolution trying to conceptualize it. You know, maybe it's too far for our brains to really comprehend, because we are ourselves, so we don't know what that consciousness would be like in a non-sentient being, or at least until we put it into the being. You know, AI has gone really far. If you think about AI in video games, even, it's programmed, but it's programmed so advanced now that we can't even tell the difference between it being programmed and us and our consciousness. So, you know, we've already advanced it so far.
That's true, but
I don't know. I just think, well, we're gonna have to wrap this up pretty soon. If in case you don't know, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, we're three members of the four piece, the Jangle Sheep, based here in Evansville. We're on Facebook and all that shit. I'll probably put it in the description. We have 6 new songs we're trying to record, so if you hear this and you have a studio or you know someone who's a producer or engineer, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and we'd really like some decently priced recording pretty soon for these 6 new, like, really fucking awesome tracks. They're seriously double as good as the last EP, in my opinion. I love it. It's more of it's like a collaborative thing, and we all come in with parts, and I think, like, all 4 of us have, like, lead vocals on it, and it's really, I don't know, it's really cool how we, like, split it up.
It's gonna be fun.
They're a lot of fun to play live, and at our next show, whenever that may be, probably January or February, we're gonna play this new song, and it's gonna blow everyone away, hopefully. But yeah. So, do you guys have anything to add to that? Anything? Because, I mean, we should talk about the band a little bit whenever we do these. I like having the crazy, really sprawling conversations. But to bring it back to the band.
Thinking about changing our band name to the Atheist Robo Dinosaur Club?
Yeah.
I think the new EP is going to be really good. I'm really excited to record it. It's really going to showcase our talents that we've had for, like, the past, you know, half year. Because the first 5 songs we wrote, although they're awesome, or we think they're awesome, you know, we wrote those probably the first couple months we were together.
Yeah.
It just took forever to get recording finished. And it's like, our recordings are always about a half a year behind to what our level of skill is and what we bring to the table as a collective group and as all of our songs are concerned. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're always like 6 months behind. So if you hear a band come out with new stuff, you could just imagine that they're already a year
ahead of that, yeah. Well, if we record it in the next month or two, it'll only be maybe 2 or 3 months behind this time. If we put it out immediately.
It's getting quicker, yeah. But
we sat on the last EP for a month or two.
We did. We sat on that for a while.
For artwork and other reasons. And we sat on it for a while. And maybe not really that long, because it took Gary a while. It was his first album, like, you know, really big project, so... I think he did a pretty good job on it. I don't know who we're going to go with next. We'd like to do it in Evansville, if at all possible, but...
Yeah, so wherever we can find someone who's good. We don't want to waste our money with...
Right.
...mediocrity, because, you know, we put a lot of time into it, so... As long as we find someone who's good for our sound and respects our music, you know...
Yeah, that's what it's all about. But, anyway, thank you for listening. This has been the Tri-State Space Program.